Broadcasting from stages 2 and 4 in Burbank, California, let's go inside Salem on NBC's Days of Our Lives podcast.
On today's show, Greg Vaughn talks about being caught in a love triangle and his thoughts on Nicole's return. Then, in Two Can't Miss Clips, Rafe takes a bullet, and Eric and Sarah plan to tell Rex everything, but come face to face with Nicole. Later, Cassie DePaiva, Victoria Conifal, Lindsay Godfrey, and Eric Martzoff are here to celebrate their daytime Emmy nominations in a very special Emmy Roundtable party. That and more starting now. He was last year's winner for the Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series at the 45th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards, and he is one of Days of Our Lives' most popular leading men. Greg Vaughn always brings the emotion to every scene he plays, and boy, was his character of Eric Brady in for a major shock. After finally being able to move forward in his love life with Sarah Horton, and while the two worried about their declaration would do to Eric's brother Rex, another bombshell was about to drop. Yep, the love of Eric's life, Nicole, showed up alive at Rex's front door. Here to weigh in on all that and more, please welcome Mr. Greg Vaughn. Greg, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
thank you. Please, applause. Thank you.
So we're just watching Eric once again. He's been so conflicted. This guy is constantly torn apart. Like every storyline, I feel like he's torn apart. This time he's developed feelings for Sarah, even though his half-brother Rex loves her too. Was he really trying to keep his feelings from her hidden, and was he trying to bury all that? Or,
you know, speaking of love relationships, I'm always 1 foot in and 1 foot out, you know, so I never the journey of a relationship for Eric has not quite been a full run yet. So now his relationship, not only with his brother, but with Sarah, I think evolved in very platonic way, in a matter of similarities, having an understanding of one another and what their, you know, relationship would, how it devolved and developed into something beyond friends, you know, our feelings. And so, you know, I think kind of into the unknown of like this wonderful person comes in and she's so attractive and caring and supporting. And so those are a wonderful quality to have. And then for it to be, then it belongs to somebody else who happens to be my brother, my half brother. Take it.
I know it's half brother.
That is correct. And I still don't know the family tree about that, but I just know that my dad, he went into the well somewhere.
Right. Cause there were the alien babies that dropped
correct.
Out of the sky.
They keep yes. coming when you least expect it.
So what has it been like working with Lindsay Godfrey and developing this relationship with her as Sarah on screen?
Working with Lindsay has been great. I mean, let's remind everyone that I tested with like 12, 13 girls, and some I'm very friendly with and knew outside of work and or had worked with in other professional environments and stuff. But I knew from the moment that I saw her, I was like, this is the girl.
So you voted for Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, there was three girls that I knew that were right, and then, but there was something that she brought that was completely a different element, a different layer, you know, spunky, very, you know, a non-filtered mouth, you know, and, you know, she just like, everything just spews right out of her, and that's kind of what she brought to the character. But I wanted it to be something, the journey to be different for Eric. There was the establishment of Nicole and Eric, this beautiful, tall, blonde bombshell. So I felt, and my first thought process was that they were going to go something polar opposite. And so I kind of stayed in that lane.
Right. When Ariane was leaving the show, mm-hmm. did they come to you and say, we're going to develop this new relationship for him and then have it blow up later? Did you know how this arc was going to play out?
It's funny because right pre-Emmys last year, I was testing with these girls, and I knew that Ari had chosen to take a leave of absence, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so I was really excited about jumping into a different story, not knowing that Rex was coming on the canvas. So it really took me for a turn because I thought we were slowly going to start jumping in with Eric and Holly, the baby, you know, a new fatherhood and where this journey was going to lead. And then all of a sudden, Rex comes into the fold, and it's it just completely caught me off guard. It wasn't what I was expecting, you know, and then realizing that this wonderful woman was taken, I was getting it prepared and set up for Rex's return.
What's it like having Ariane Zucker back now?
Well, that's that's magic. Just... You know how it is. I mean, she's a vet. We have a chemistry. Even Lindsay herself said, watching you two together, it's
Something there. It's just
Is what it is. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, let's get it together. Let's make the magic. But that would not be a traditional soap opera. We have to have the drama. Without the drama, there's no soap.
So now he's got her back. He sees her back. He's about to declare his relationship with Sarah to Rex.
Yeah.
And now he's really in a conundrum.
I think he's been in this emotional roller coaster of not, you know, and not pining over Nicole and her loss, but it was a terrible tragedy in his mind. And, you know, and then the turmoil between Chloe and Eric and then Brady, you know, about the well-being and the home care of Holly and Maggie's input. So there's a lot of family factors involved in trying to make the best choice for her. But then in the midst of all this going on, it's like the relationship, the friendship, it evolved and started gaining steam, feelings, even knowing that Rex was now in play, but how he was treating her and as all these things started to come out, all the skeletons out of the closet, if you will, and then it was just tormenting their relationship. And so he was caught between a rock and a hard spot, definitely, you know, supporting his brother and suppressing his feelings.
Torment is the key word. You just said it. There's nobody more tormented than Eric Brady on daytime.
Wow. What a 5-year run of torment.
Right? And I mean, I want to ask you, do you say bring on the torment? Do you say I want to the writers? Do you ever have the conversation like, I want to have the torment. I want that drama? Because you get the heavy stuff, right? Yeah. You're playing the heavy drama.
I've been dealt those cards, you know, and I welcome them. I do. I really felt when Eric left the canvas, you know, to go off to prison, I felt that I tapped into something unique for me. And I really wanted to go into that place and then come back as the whole, like, you know, just a completely darker, different character.
Right.
I just wanted the torment, the change. And then when you came back, he was going to be a completely new person and a completely much more powerful person. But now once Ari was revealed to come back, you know, as we all seem to leave and come back,
you know,
were
you jumping
back
for joy, like, whoa?
No, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like sometimes it's good just to take a break, put everything down, let the dust settle, and then, you know, come back. And, you know, you're kind of refreshed. You're kind of like you're recharged, rebooted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to have that reboot.
It's great. So this is our little Daytime Emmy pre-show in a way. What advice would you give to this year's Daytime Emmy nominees from Days while they're waiting in the audience for their name to be called if they're nominated in a category?
Last year kind of took me by surprise. It was like I was in the back and then I came up front to be seated, you know. And so – and then there was a couple of other nominations that had kind of led up to my win, and I was kind of taken back a bit, but I was off guard. So I think if you're just embracing the moment and, you know, nothing personal, it's just appreciate all the hard work that's been put in and what you've achieved and knowing that you're already a winner to be nominated and the day is yours to just embrace and to be with your fellow daytime stars and actors, you know, and reconnection and just celebrating the genre. I mean, this is an ensemble of not just about one show, one cast. This is an assembly of everyone in this whole medium, which I think is a testament to those that are rooting and cheering for each other. It's a great day. And for all those nominations, not just from Days, but from every show, I think it's a success.
Speech prepared, yes or no? Would you have a speech prepared? Would you advise them or no?
Just take a breath and just keep going. Just say what's on your heart, say what's in your mind. And that's kind of what happened last year for me. And so I just kind of had a lot of thoughts, but not in order. And whenever they came out, it just rolled out. But there is one person, Marnie Saida, that I didn't announce verbally and publicly out there, but she is one of my greatest advocates and I love her to death. And this show is exactly because of her.
She's the casting director.
As a casting director, she's one of the greatest, most wonderful, and I know everybody that knows this world, they've met her from Y&R, where she first found me and brought me into this daytime fold. So if anybody deserves a lot of credit, sir.
And that, my friend, is the gospel according to Greg Vaughn.
Amen.
Are you ready to do some Katmiss clips with me?
Katmiss,
all right. Okay, here we go. Here's Here's your Can't Miss clip for the week of April 15th. With Elfideo's men out for blood, a shot is fired into the Demir mansion, nearly missing Sierra and Gabby. The cartel is out for Stefan after he killed one of their own. At Doug's place, another man corners Eli and Chloe at gunpoint. Brady steps in to help and nearly gets shot. Back at the Demir mansion, Gabby discreetly texts Rafe to tip him off. She gets caught and almost shot. But the moment is interrupted when Stefan and Ben barge in. Here's what went down next.
I'm really going to enjoy this.
Stefan, Hector's brother is the one you shot to protect Chloe, okay?
So I killed your brother.
That's right.
This is about revenge. I get it. I would do the same thing. So if this is personal, let everybody else go.
As I told Miss Brady, I need a hostage to get out of here.
Then take me.
Trade the tiny little woman for the big hulking killer? Doesn't sound like a fair trade.
Trust me, you don't want to mess around with the commissioner's daughter. The police will do anything to get her back. You'll never have a moment of peace for yourself. Hey, look at me. You take me, they might just give you a reward.
The whole point of a hostage is that people don't want him to get hurt. Nobody cares if you go down. I'm taking Sierra with me.
Hey, Hector, focus. This is about me, right?
Thanks for reminding me. I'm done negotiating. See you in hell.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God!
So these gunshots, have you been involved in these scenes? You're involved in kidnaps and gunshots. Like, what's it like playing those scenes?
I am not involved in gunshots. I'm involved in moving styrofoam rocks from the building that's
right.
Collapsing.
That's right. What am I talking about?
Yes, and other people who are just about to get mangled and losing limbs and their lives are put on the line. But nothing with – there was an explosion that, you know, from the building.
Or the warehouse explosion.
But no, I mean, I haven't really had any of that big action hero – type things yet, I hope.
Yet.
We wait.
Maybe there's something coming. I think there's something
angle
coming. Okay. All right. But talking about the moving of the rocks, so do you kind of feel kind of stupid? Like you have
of course I feel stupid. But I'm an actor who I'm like, I got to make this look real.
Oh, this
I mean, this was a part of acting class. We had to go, the grunt and the pain. And it's
or
like,
feel
I
the,
can
feel the
spin
hot
it on
coffee.
A finger.
Feel the hot coffee.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's why I always get real coffee and make sure that it's boiling hot in my mouth, you know?
See, these are tips from like a real actor.
You know,
like, yeah.
It's the old things where you put like pebbles, rocks in your boot to give you
the
lamp.
To feel
the
weight
of
the thing.
Yeah, the pain, the agony, you know? I mean, listen, hey, these
is
are
is a sense
very,
memory? Do you guys do that?
Listen, it's like, look at the picture of something that makes you sad to cry.
Does that work? No.
No. I mean, yes, maybe for somebody. I can't speak
That's
for
not
myself.
Your process.
It's not my process. I mean, with Lindsay and I, we did a scene. It was very heartfelt. And she just like, and I just knew she was having a problem getting there. And I just embraced her with a hug. And I just looked in her in the eye. And she's like, okay, that's enough. Goodbye. Let's tape. You know, it's just like you have to. Yeah. Know how to like
to
kind
bring
of
it,
to bring somebody in a very in a very you know heated conversation or a very emotionally driven scene.
What about your tear ducts? Do they get like you cry a lot on
I
stage?
Can.
So does it like what happens?
You well, know? I can't give away all my secrets,
okay,
but
okay.
I do know in the times that I've had a heavy like I for instance, let's use Ari. You know, if she's crying all day, she has to pace herself. That's a you know, it's
big,
a, not an easy thing to achieve. You got to drink a lot of water the night before. You know, just so you know. But some people can cry on an instance. I mean, I have games with my kids, so you can cry faster, and they kind of beat me sometimes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm like, I give them too much.
Okay. All right, you ready for your Can't
Yes,
Miss
this
clip?
Is
Here
my first. Here's your Can't Miss clip for the week of April 22nd. Rex gets the shock of his life when he opens the door to Nicole. He leaves a voicemail for Eric to come home immediately just before she collapses in his arms. After Sarah learns of Eric's promise to God, the two finally confront their true feelings. Eric stands behind his vow. Sarah encourages him to be honest with himself. He gives in and they kiss, but Eric fears damaging his relationship with another brother. Take a listen to what happened next.
I can't let Rex, I won't do it.
No, me either. We can't go any further unless we talk to him.
Go.
Well, I'm supposed to have dinner with him at your place. He's probably wondering where I am. I'm gonna go, Eric. I have to tell him the truth.
No. I let Nicole go to Brady alone. It was the worst mistake that I ever made. I'm not gonna make the same mistake again. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this together.
Does it help that this... that I've never been happier?
It helps a lot. Jeez, what the hell? I said it was important.
Rex, we need to talk.
I'm so sorry. There's no time for that right now. Eric, I literally don't know how to tell you this, man.
And in walks Nicole.
Game changer.
Game changer. Ruh-roh. So you know that's a big moment for the audience, right? Like you're walking in and that's a big thing. Do you feel pressure when it's like, I got to deliver that? Do you guys feel that way?
No, it's just being true to what the choice is being made, his emotional pull, you know, and also you always kind of put yourself in check. Like, would I do this? Why would I do this? What's my motivation? What do I gain from this? Why? How much I need to really commit to this point? It's a very big and raw moment to see her back, you know, that when they first make contact, you know, face to face, it's like, is my mind playing tricks with me? Is this real? Is this a ghost? Is this, how is this happening? You're supposed to be gone. But in all that happening, when that actual moment takes place, it was more of a journey of like, let's see where this vessel leads and let's take this trip and hopefully we, you know, no risk, no reward, you know?
You would say in a broad stroke after that, without ruining the story, it's going to be a roller coaster ride for Eric or what? Or what would you say?
It's definitely a roller coaster ride. I mean, it's a, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot that needs to be put out there, you know, and discussed and revealed and, you know, and then it kind of, I think, slams you in the face of like, wait a minute, there's another individual that's involved in this now, not just the brother, but the other woman.
Yeah. Well, so. They loaded you up with story there, which is great. So now we get to see what you're going to do.
You know, yes. I'm very happy to have such a wonderful supporting cast around. You know, it makes the work you do that much better. But there is such an obvious, you know who your fan favorites are. You know who's going to be rooting for certain character relationships and who's going to go against it. But my journey with Lindsay is nothing great, and I'm never saying it's over.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg, so much for chatting. Always great to catch up with you.
Glad to be here, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And make sure to catch Greg on Days of Our Lives streaming on NBC.com and the NBC app.
Part 2 of Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast will return in a moment. Subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcasts. We now return to Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast to take a look behind the scenes.
Just who's going for gold next week at the 46th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards from Days of Our Lives? Well, we've got four of the nominees right here with us. As the Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast welcomes you to our little pre-Emmy nominee party to talk about how they feel about going into daytime's biggest night, share with us what scenes they submitted that landed them the nod from their peers, and to help us celebrate Days' amazing 27 nominations, the most for the series of all time, welcome supporting actress nominees Cassie DePaiva and Lindsay Godfrey, younger actress nominee Victoria Conifal, and a former winner in this category, and a nominee again this year for supporting actor, Eric Martzoff. Welcome, people. Welcome, people. Congratulations, all. Congratulations, all. So just quickly, Lindsay, what happened when you found out you were nominated and how did you find out? What went on?
Oh, I was finishing a full rant about how there was absolutely no way on God's green earth I was getting nominated to my mom.
You thought it was a no-go.
Yeah, my mom was like, are you excited? You might get nominated. I was like, Mom, I'm not going to get nominated. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't finish that sentence before opening my Twitter and seeing my nomination. So my reaction was just hysterical laughter because I just finished a full-on rant where I was like, don't get your hopes up, Mom.
But like, you've been nominated before.
Yes.
And what was that like for Bold and Beautiful, right?
Yeah, I've been nominated. I've been nominated three other times.
Oh, for showing off.
Girl, no. You're due.
No, she's due. No. So, I mean, getting nominated again?
Was this more special, getting nominated?
It was exciting to get nominated again just because I just started on this show and it felt nice to feel like I've done good work so far, you know? So that was really exciting. It was just such a big category, supporting actresses, that I really was like, there's so many, I mean, you got the Kathy DePivas, and you've got like, Michelle Morgan, there's some like big heavy hitters of acting in that category. So again, it felt amazing. I'm beyond flattered.
Cassie, what happened when you found out you were nominated? Because you're in the same category as Lindsay.
Well, I was always under the assumption that the Emmy nominations came out early in the morning. So I was in the Catskills and I was skiing that day. And I'm like, looked at my phone, go, well, I guess they're not coming out. Maybe I got the wrong day or whatever. And then that afternoon, I flipped on my phone and saw Twitter, where I found out all my information.
That's your go-to.
You know, I can find out my dog died on Twitter.
Yeah. That's how I found out that I bought a house. Oh, on Twitter.
So that's how I found out. And then I kind of went on down and looked, and there was a Variety had put out the Emmy nominations, and my picture was there. So I took a screenshot of that and sent that to my husband, and that's how I told him. And then I just told my son, like 4 days ago. He goes, well, why didn't you tell me? I said, well, I don't know. Don't you read Twitter?
That's where I find out everything.
So you've been nominated before.
A couple of times.
So what was this like, getting it for days into playing Eve? And
well, you know, I was nominated for lead actress for Eve two years ago. At this stage in the game, you talk about being a bridesmaid and never a bride. Well, I'm 1,000 years old, but I'm still doing what I love, and that feels good. And I, you know, this role in particular is exhausting and very, very different from me. And I really can't be objective, so I watch my reel and go, but I got nominated because my scenes were with Eric Martzoff, and he made me look really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
Because he is an Emmy.
He's an Emmy winner.
He's an Emmy wiener. He's an Emmy wiener.
He's an Emmy wiener.
Okay, Eric. So it's Emmy Day, nomination day, and what happens?
I actually mentioned this on the app a couple weeks ago, but I was literally weeding with my son.
Weeding with your son.
At my mother-in-law's house and telling him how to pull up weeds, and I was a little frustrated. So I checked my phone to see what time it was, because I was allowed to leave at noon. And that's when I saw this big heart from, it's actually Victoria's.
Miss Victoria.
Hers was the first text. There were a couple, but hers was the first one.
My first congratulations text from V as well.
That's so sweet.
Anyway, she sent me a big heart and congratulations, and that's where that
tipped
me off.
Do you feel pressure that you've been a winner and now you're nominated again?
No. I don't feel pressure in that. I'll tell you what I do feel pressure in, and I mentioned this before.
Yeah.
As far as picking your categories, lead actor category versus supporting actor category. I opted for supporting.
Supporting.
I won in supporting as well. And to be completely honest with you, I would put myself in a supporting category in this genre probably for the rest of my life as a daytime player, because I just believe we're all supporting each other at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's
a
bunch of stories that are interlaced, and whether you have a lot of screen time,
yeah,
or a little bit of screen time, I think it's the quality of that time and not the amount that you're on television that should really be judged.
Yeah. Quantity.
Quality over quantity. That's my speech.
I won't do it in lead actress unless I've won in supporting. I feel like I haven't earned it yet.
Oh, you gotta take a step up.
Yeah.
Victoria, you're the newbie nominee.
Yes.
So this is your first nomination.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it feel? What happened when you...
Yes. I was asleep
You're asleep. Oh, that's
she's right.
Right
now.
I was asleep. I am a sleepyhead. I'm not a morning person. I stay up till
they came out at 5 p.m. on the West Coast.
I know. No, I know. What are you talking about?
Oh, it was like 11. I got a phone call.
Asleep in a Sprouts parking lot.
Victoria takes all
so
of
what time
naps.
Was it, Victoria, when you
it
realized
11.
You were nominated?
It was 11 a.m. I woke up to a phone call from Miss Olivia Rose Keegan.
Aww.
saying, guess who got nominated in the younger actor? And she was like,
me.
No, I said, both of us. And she said, yeah, both of us. And I was like, yeah. Oops. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, and then we kind of screamed a little bit, talked about it. It didn't really feel real. It still doesn't. It kind of just seems like a concept. It doesn't seem like a real thing.
Did you walk the red carpet last year?
You did.
I did.
So you've experienced that. That's always festive and fun. And
was
it's
last
such
year
a
your first ever daytime Emmy?
Yeah,
it was my first ever Emmy.
The fun part. That's fun.
You get to do it.
It's
my
thing.
Final year of being, and it was the only year I was in Younger Actress. I got to be nominated with my best friend.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
so much,
so much
fun,
special.
Right?
Yeah. Kim Matula and I both got nominated. It was her first nomination, my first nomination, and it was in some Younger Actress, and it was fun to be able to do that together.
I kind of want to tell the audience the process that you guys go through in a quick way. So you have to do a pre-nom first, and you have to select, I believe, up to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is I don't think you need any more than 4 minutes for any of it.
I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that you can tell who – I mean, you're basically just taking like one or two scenes anyway. And as a blue ribbon panelist, to sit and watch 20 minutes worth of material is like, and you're watching.
Poke your eyes out.
It's a lot of time. And then you kind of just, and you can just tell.
Yeah.
I judge the lead actor and supporting actor categories this year. And I also know people's bodies of work. And I know what they've brought to the canvas year in, year out, day in, day out. And sometimes I think, well, gosh, that reel is not as strong as the stuff that I actually saw this year. You know, what people pick sometimes blows my mind because sometimes it just doesn't indicate, to me, their strength.
And doesn't it all really come down to the reel?
Yeah.
Because it is a game. Yeah. It really is a game, and you're being judged on the reel.
It is, because that's all they get to see. They don't get to watch the rest of the year. Also, in the younger categories, it's different than the other categories. Our reel gets to be up to 10 minutes long versus 4, and we get to pick 4 episodes instead of 2.
That happens.
So that makes it a lot more chaotic. I was 3 seconds away from not even submitting at all. Like, I was telling everybody, my team, I was like, you know, I don't want to do this. This is too much stress. I don't really, you know, I'm probably not going to get nominated. I had no... You know, same thing as Lindsay. Like, I did not expect it one bit.
I almost didn't do it. When the nominations come out, you get about a week, and it's usually over Thanksgiving. And then you have to have it.
No, there's nobody in the house.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, you need to go pick something. And then when you have to do your Blue Ribbon panel submission, it's usually over a holiday or something. And you only have, like, 5 days to get it together.
It's a shame that we have to judge these contenders for these awards based on 4 minutes of work, because it's so hard, like Cassie was saying, to take away the giant body and the historical aspect that we know these act. I think there are so many people in our daytime community that could win an Emmy. I think it's all about when you're given that writing football, you know, when you're given that storyline. I think there's a lot of people in our community that can pull it off and pull it off very, very well. So I think there's a lot of Vegas involved, and there's a lot of luck when you get that storyline. When you're given that gift, you just have to run with it when you're given it.
I find it really interesting because I've always played characters that I call a spoon. My character stirs up trouble in town, and I'm usually supporting somebody else's bigger story because my character is a catalyst for trouble.
Right.
And when you take all of that stuff out of context, some of my scenes seem ridiculous because I'm talking about stuff that is ridiculous.
Oh, really?
But it definitely helps paint the picture. But I feel very fortunate.
I've always been the fork
because
I'm always sticking myself in the meat of the situation.
So you have up to 20, for the rules change, I believe you have up to 20 minutes for the final round, and you can choose scenes from They can be from different.
20 minutes? 10 minutes?
Up to 20?
No, it's 10.
Up to 10?
It's 10. It's up to 20.
It's up to 20.
It was up to 20.
Really? Yeah.
I think I submitted maybe 7
But that's what she's saying. Yeah. You want to go shorter. You don't want
to
go long.
To me, shorter is better.
People have things to do. They got to do their laundry and stuff.
I actually feel really strongly about it. I had this conversation with Cameron Grimes.
Of course, from Weinart.
And I was saying, I'm not going to get nominated. Because I also was only on the show for 6 weeks that was eligible. So I was like, there's no way. And she was saying, well, you'll get nominated if you do, probably for your body of work. And I feel the opposite. I feel like I should only be nominated off of the merit of what I sent in, not for what I've done in the past, because that's what I'm being judged off of is what I'm sending in. So for me, if you don't have a, like, I shouldn't have, you shouldn't get nominated unless your reel is good, which is what I get nervous about when I submit, because I don't want people to be like, well, you were good last year.
Do you guys, do you go by your own gut or do you ask a bunch of people before you make your final decision?
I ask the crew. I ask the crew. And I think the trendy thing now is to ask fans, actually.
I went on Twitter and I said, what do you all think was the strongest material? And they listed both of those episodes.
They have the perfect bird's eye view to the whole year. They really invest in it and they remember what moved them, mm-hmm. you know?
All right, let's take a listen to some of your nominated work. Lindsay, you're up first. Reeling from discovering Rex's infidelity, Sarah gets drunk and targets a newly engaged couple. Let's take a listen.
Hi, sorry to interrupt, but did you just propose to her?
I did.
Yeah, we're engaged. My God, you love him so much.
Yeah,
we're pretty happy. Yeah. Aw, okay, cool. Hey, let me let you in on a little secret.
Okay?
Sure. I know that you're happy right now, but Mr. Perfect here will cheat on you. I guarantee it, okay?
Excuse me, Sarah, why don't we leave this nice couple alone, okay?
I'm just saying you should get out. No, I'm offering this woman some really positive advice.
Oh, dude, do us a favor and get your girlfriend out of here.
She's not my girlfriend.
Lucky you, she's obnoxious as hell.
Hey, well, I am not obnoxious.
Okay.
This is obnoxious.
Hey.
Yes!
Emmy award-winning drink throwing. Emmy award-winning drink throwing.
Job, yeah. Baby.
I think that couple should become regulars. I like them.
I'm thinking, who are those people?
I think they were like a contest winner or something. Where
they were?
Yeah,
where did they come from?
They were Australian. Yeah. It was funny. They were lovely. Like, they were really nice, and I felt really bad. I kept apologizing for being...
Sorry, it's just water, I promise.
It was like water, you know, when it's booze, it's like watered down soda. So it's
last question for you. Will you have an acceptance speech ready if you win? No. You don't believe in the piece of paper or having something prepared?
I don't believe I'm going to win, so I don't prepare for it.
Oh, that was funny. You better write something down.
Yeah, I better write something down.
That was funny.
Why did you go with the scene?
Because I only had 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I had the really heavy drama, but I've been nominated. The first time I was ever nominated was with a comedy reel. And so I just kind of wanted to be like, don't forget, I can do this. But I wanted to show a difference of like, here she is crying and sobbing, but everybody's going to be crying and sobbing because, you know, it's a soap. So here's something else that I can do, which is throw drinks at lovely
that
Australian people.
I thought that scene endeared you to the audience right off the bat too, well. I thought that was a good choice for them to allow you to do that and come in that way.
Oh. All right, Eric Martsoff. Okay, one of the scenes you submitted on your reel has Brady saying goodbye to his son, Tate, before he leaves to live with Teresa. This is very heartbreaking. Check it out.
No. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to go with you tonight with your mommy. But hey, I have two promises to make you. Okay? Number one, I'm going to miss you so much when you walk out that door. This minute you walk out, I'm going to miss you. And promise number two is I will think about you every single day. Every single day, I promise. Hey, what do we always say when we have night-night? Hugs and kisses. And we say good night. And I'll see you soon in the morning. What? Right? That's what we say.
I miss you, darling.
Oh, I'm gonna miss you too.
More than you know, bud.
Oh,
were you worried that this kid, were you worried about the kid in the scene, or how did you?
Yes.
I can only imagine, what's it like working with a kid standing there?
You always worry about working with a kid because there's so many distractions out there. They want to look at the cameraman. I mean, it's a beautiful, wonderful world out there that they were not supposed to look into. But I've had some fatherly times with my kids, trying to get their attention these days with iPads and phones and all these things. And there are little tricks. You have to touch them in some way and find their eyeballs and clue in somehow. And every kid is different, but in that particular scene, he did. He locked in, and that was some good stuff. And
I appreciate him. He had him Velcroed to the floor.
I thought it was
I did
stand
drug
up
him a little Robitussin was involved.
I thought it was a little Robitussin was going on.
I saw
that.
A little bit of Benadryl.
But he did a great job in that little moment.
It was very sweet on set. You know,
and you were in the scene.
He was there. It was like it was really beautiful.
Thank you. Guess, I had to pick it. I relate. I mean, I don't relate to that particular scenario, but as far as a bond between a father and son.
Oh, yeah, as a parent.
That scene killed me.
No, it's great. Victoria Conefall.
Yes.
So one of the scenes on your nominated reel has Sierra turning to Kayla after she's unable to feel comfortable engaging with her current boyfriend, Tripp. Take a listen.
I ran into Julie that day. I told her Tripp and I had a special evening planned, and right away she was grilling me about whether we were going to have sex or not, and she kept telling me that you never get over being raped.
No wonder it was on your mind.
That's what I said. I blamed her. But I saw Tripp tonight, and I told him that I was sorry for leaving without any explanation.
Did you tell him why?
He kissed me, and it happened again. So I ended up breaking up with him. I didn't know what else to do.
You could tell him what the problem is.
That's what Mom said. But I don't want him to see me that way.
What way?
You know, there's no point. I don't know if I'm ready to be with a guy, and I don't think I'll ever be ready.
That's powerful, Stop. Victoria.
I'm like watching it upside
down. Until Ben showed up.
So what do you remember about
Bad Boy?
Uh-huh. Why did you choose that? And what do you remember when you played that, like actually doing that scene?
I chose it because, truthfully, I mean, when choosing Emmy scenes, it's difficult because you want to, I don't know, like what Cassie was saying before, I'm kind of supporting other storylines, you know? I'm a little piece to help other bigger storylines develop. So there wasn't a lot from Sierra's perspective to choose from. Not a lot of Sierra sharing about herself. And I figured that this was the first time that Sierra really opened up and got in touch with her own feelings, and I chose it. Yeah, obviously.
No, it's great. It's great, right? It
was great. Absolutely, and I do believe when you're watching, it is nice to have a beginning, middle, and end to these scenes, so you do get a sense of where this character is coming from. So it's not just completely taken out of context. I think judging the Emmys is very difficult and
but
trying to compile.
Usually, the winning reels
stuff.
Are usually ones that have like a beginning, middle, and end, don't they? They tell a story.
I don't know. You might know better than me.
I feel a little bit
Michael.
Like those are the ones that win. No.
I feel like I black out after I watch all of the Emmy reels. I remember the year I was pregnant with my child. Judging the Emmys, alone, super pregnant. I was on bed rest, alone in my house by myself. And it was the year that every f-ing show had either a dead baby or a dead child. It was like dead baby season.
I remember
on every God, so. Everything. 2012 was dead baby year.
Oh, horrible. Horrible.
So now I just try to erase them from my memory
and move on.
Move on.
Cassie DePaiva.
Yeah.
In your nominated reel, here's a clip of one of your performances as Eve lashes out after she discovers Brady's betrayal.
Bring it on, brother.
Right, here's that lashing out.
That was a strong word.
How dare you?
Oh, well.
Betrayal.
Why am I supposed to believe all this now?
Because I didn't want any of this to happen. I started having feelings for you, and I thought, this is just physical. Then I realized the more time I spent with you, I wanted to be around you. I needed you. I wanted you. I realized you weren't my enemy. I realized that I wanted you to be my partner.
Oh, stop it right there, okay? Because if I were truly your partner, you would have told me the truth instead. I had to let that old man drop a bomb
because
right
I, no,
on
I thought,
me,
listen,
Brady.
Listen to me. I thought I could do it all. I thought I could prove myself to him and be with you.
Oh, well, that's stupid.
It's not
How
stupid.
How is that going to work for
because
you,
Because if we were a team, we could bring Basic Black to Titan, and I could bring you into this family as my wife, and that's what I wanted to do.
Well, okay, let me just clear it up here for you, because you've certainly proven yourself to Victor. And you know what? I should actually thank that man, because he has shown me who you truly are. And that is a selfish, deceitful piece of garbage.
Well, I like ending Miami theme with calling him a piece
you
of garbage.
You submitted that?
I meant to say piece of
Piece of garbage. Piece of garbage.
Oh, that was rough.
Also, okay, your hair looks so cute.
Short.
Oh my God, I love
so
it.
What a difference you went with that scene because that was one of your picks.
Well, because that had an arc, and I truly loved working with Eric Martsoff. I think we had great stuff, and we had fun working together. And I don't know, the writing was very strong, and we had a lot of different levels of stuff to play. So
that was also the lovely culmination of like everything we had been
right. That's it, and all the boom.
That was well deserved.
So, will you have an acceptance speech, because it's been long overdue that you should have received an Emmy?
Well,
so,
now that I'm 80,
now that you're.
I'm actually going to have an acceptance speech for Cassie DePaiva.
Will you? Okay.
So I'll have one too. Why don't we all write one?
Will you have anything prepared?
I'll accept on her behalf.
Not really. I mean, there's so many. Listen, I am just grateful, and that'll probably be all I will say, because I'm just grateful to still be in the game of life and to be doing this. And, you know, I'm just lucky. I'm lucky.
I was lucky. When you get to go to work with someone that is so happy just to be at work and to be there. And just, she was the most appreciative coworker I think I've ever worked with. It wasn't even work that year. That's why I kind of feel guilty about.
It was fun. I was bummed when they kind of broke. Yeah, I thought, well.
That was pretty abrupt, yeah.
And then they didn't really go in and, like, it just ended. We had a lot of baggage.
Is that tough when you build a relationship, they break it up because they need the story, you've invested in it, and then you don't go back to it.
Yeah, because you get attached to that worth, like that person's work ethic, and you get attached to like working together, and you get a shorthand with that person that you...
It's an emotional investment.
And especially with soaps, they cut them off so quickly, and then you... make a right turn, and now I'm wholeheartedly in love with you, and that person meant nothing.
But I also think it's important for the fans to understand that there's so many extenuating circumstances surrounding these abrupt endings, whether they're contractual, personal lives come into hand. There's a multitude of reasons. It's not always, sometimes the writers.
Our situation was, Kristen. He had to sleep with Kristen. And it's like, ew, get it off of me.
God,
oh, but I did
together.
That to just get information, though, remember? Do we have to rehash all this?
Whatever, Brady.
I was playing her.
God.
We've all done that, right?
Yeah.
All right, kids. Well, thank you so much for our pre-Emmy nominee party panel.
Yay!
I wish you all the best of luck at the 46th Annual Daytime Emmys. We'll be catching up there.
Yay.
And we'll see if you have Emmy gold to come back with.
Well, first of all, let's just say Days of Our Lives, rock on.
Yeah.
Really, 27 really nominations.
I said 27.
What?
Gotta be
That's
some gold.
Incredible.
Two to the seven, man.
That's a lot. Most ever for the show.
Most ever for this show. That's incredible.
And you're all part of it.
Whoa.
Super duper.
That's it.
Coming up
on Days of Our Lives. Tensions build. Nicole lashes out at Chloe over Holly's kidnapping.
I swear to God, Chloe, if anything happens to Holly, her blood will be on your hands.
Marlena comforts a heartbroken Sarah.
You know, you've suffered a terrible blow. You should give yourself some time to heal.
Jack pulls a shocking stunt during the debate.
These are baseless accusations.
That's right.
I was hoping you'd say that because I have proof.
Claire fumes when she learns she must move out of the loft because of Haley.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, shut up. You are not sorry.
Days of Our Lives. Stream anytime on NBC.com or the NBC app.
This has been Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast. Subscribe on all major podcasting platforms. Follow the show at NBC Days. Theme music by Tom Boyce and Bobby Hart. Produced by Grant Rutter and Michael Fairman. Edited by Trey Booty. This is Melissa Reeves. Join us again for another episode of Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast.